Good evening, friends. It's good to have the fellowship of the Lord's people and the prayers. Thanks for those wonderful prayers to me. Weren't we well fed this morning through Miles' ministry? Tonight's passage is from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. And it's entitled, "You Must Be Born Again." I'm going to read the passage now. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel, yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.'" I'm going to read that famous verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Amen. This is the word of God. And we're going to sing. Can you remember that day when you knew Christ as your Saviour? And you just wanted to tell everybody, and you were happy. I used to skip about my kitchen, believe it or not. My wife was at work, of course. Can I just, I would just like us to pray for a few moments before we go into the passage here. Dear Lord and Father, we just want to thank you again. It's a wonderful day, the day that you saved us. And we thank you, Lord, we can rejoice every day in the knowledge of this great salvation. And it's our prayer, Lord, that many more shall taste and see that the Lord is good and able to save. Pray, Lord, it will sense your presence tonight in this little meeting. And Lord, wherever your plate, wherever your word has been preached all over Scotland and Great Britain, Northern Ireland, and indeed all over the world, may there be rejoicing in heaven over sinners coming to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Before I begin to speak on this passage of Scripture, I just want to share a story of a testimony that I heard a number of years ago. The man who was sharing his journey to faith in Jesus had recently been called to be the pastor of a Baptist fellowship. Can I get the Baptist out of me? I'm sorry. He told us that when he was first witnessed to and was constantly being invited to come to meetings at the local church, he always seemed to fend off these invitations by making various lame excuses. Can you remember when Spoke maybe invited you to come along to his church and hear the speaker speaking? And how many times they always let you down. They said, we're going to come, they never come. Anyway, but one Sunday, he plucked up the courage to go to an evening meeting. But he had formulated a plan of what he was going to say to some of his old drinking pals if they had heard or saw him going to the church. He was going to say to them that they had been mistaken. As I was really going to the pub, which was located next door to the church. Needless to say, over the course of events, he was converted and eventually trained for a Christian ministry. I'm fairly confident that Nicodemus would not have offered up the same excuse. But it was obvious that he didn't want to be seen by his Pharisee brothers when he went for a night visit to the Lord Jesus. Nicodemus, after all, would have been a prominent and powerful man in first century Jerusalem. His status as a Pharisee placed him in rare company as a devout worshipper of God. Having pledged himself to take extraordinary measures to obey the law of Moses, including all the added extras derived by the law, from the law by the scribes. And his position as a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin, meant that he held power and influence throughout all Judea. It was no small matter that such a man chose to come to Jesus with a statement such as the one recorded in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Please notice the way he addresses Jesus in verse 2. He addresses Jesus as Rabbi, and then goes on to say, we know that you are a teacher come from God. What an admission from a proud Pharisee. We know that you are a teacher come from God. But I'm asking myself, where were all his pals? Where were all his mates if they knew that Jesus was a teacher sent from God? Why were they not there? Maybe this was just a wee squidgy. Oops. As he just told his first lie, this righteous man. We don't know. But could it be that God had already been breaking down all the armour of legalism that he had been clothing himself with for many years? I think it's fair to assume that the Lord has already been challenging Nicodemus, and the self-righteous mantle he has been adorning is beginning to crumble. Perhaps he had been present when Jesus was preaching his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus himself said in Matthew 5:20, and I quote, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll read that again. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Poor Nicodemus. Just like a lot of people today, who think that because they are good living citizens, or faithful church goers, or give lots of money to charities, by the way, these are good things to do, but no person can earn brownie points or merits that can give them a ticket into the kingdom of God. But what a bombshell the Lord drops on Nicodemus by telling him that unless he is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know that even today in some Christian circles, this statement causes much confusion. Has anyone ever said to you, are you one of these born again Christians? Or maybe you've heard people say, aye, he's one of these born again people. But we, who are Christ's, know or should know that to be a real Christian is to be born again. It's just life transforming. It's wonderful. Every Christian who understands and responds to the gospel and senses that he is a sinner and that Jesus Christ has died for his or her sins and embraces Christ Jesus as their Lord and Saviour can never be the same person. A new life has begun and the sanctification process begins. Jesus Christ becomes Lord of their lives. Can I ask you a question? Are you born again? Has your life been changed? Is it being changed? Has Jesus got a hold of you? Or are you still going through a form of godliness, but denying the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit? If you can't say yes, then please come and speak to me or some of the folk here who do know the Lord after meeting. We won't point the finger at you, but we'll tell you the gospel. You know the gospel. Many folk don't know the gospel. Many Christians can't even say the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, but on the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. We're all sinners. We are sinners. But the good news is, Christ died for sinners. He died for me, he died for you, he died for everybody. And if you read that repeatedly, prayerfully, something will happen. In a nutshell, it is the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Sadly, some people do profess Christ, but their lives are fruitless and barren because they are not born again. When Jesus saves, he saves to the uttermost. You're saved. Jesus will never, ever turn you away when you come recognizing you're a sinner and asking for forgiveness and cleansing. He saves to the uttermost. And you might make mistakes along the way in your Christian journey, but he will hold you Mal preached well on that subject this morning. Once saved, always saved. But we should never plant a sin, of course. It's a continued life of growth and much repentance as we walk with Jesus. You will make mistakes. We all make mistakes. If you're like me, you'll probably find yourself on your knees at night before you go to your bed saying, "Oh Lord, why did I say that to that person? Why did I look at that girl with terrible thoughts in my head?" Because there's a lot of the old guy still in us, or the old lady, and the devil just wants to bring you down. But the very fact you pray these things before you go to your bed is good, because it proves that you need to go to be cleansed again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again though, we should never plan to sin. Remember, Jesus didn't say it would help you, it would help if you are born again. No, He said you must be born again. Nicodemus is still perplexed and puzzled and says to Jesus, "How can we go back inside our mothers when we are old?" But the Lord keeps at it and tells him about the wind blowing wherever it wills. So it is with those who are born of the Spirit. I used to do a lot of hill walking in my job when I worked in the special needs school and outdoor education. You can go up a hill and you can feel the wind hitting you in your face sometimes. It's usually a lot colder up the hill, the wind chill factor. And the wind may be hitting you from the east or from the west, whatever, but it didn't always really start there. It could have started over here. I mean, if you look at the weather charts, you'll see the wind that swirls round. And it's like that of people who are born of the Spirit of God. I don't know why, but it does happen. How you can go to a meeting and one or two people get saved, but some people just see blank stares. The Holy Spirit moves mysteriously and touches people's hearts. And it's God who does it. We are recipients of His grace. And it's the same, as I say, when you are converted and you receive the Holy Spirit in your heart. You might not experience any flashing lights or anything. But as you read your Bible daily and feed on the Word of God, you begin to understand. I've said this before, you begin to understand a lot of things about yourself. Your past gets revealed, how wicked you've been. And of course, the devil likes to remind you of that too, about your past. But remember, when you come to Jesus, you are cleansed, you are forgiven. The devil will often come and attack you. I quite like Christian music, and Don Francisco is one of my hero, my song heroes, and he sung a little chorus that if Satan the accuser has been whispering in your ear, just tell him you're forgiven. He's got no business here. It doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what you'll be. There is no condemnation when the Son has set you free. And that's a good wee chorus to sing. I sing it often. Jesus then begins to question Nicodemus, questioning his qualification to teach others, which really confirms that if any person, no matter how great his educational qualifications be they biblical or otherwise, they have no authority to speak about the way of salvation if they're not saved themselves. There are lots of people who've gone to Bible college. I think the Wesley brothers, they were a pair who'd been ministers for years, but they weren't saved. So qualifications, it's good to study the Word of God and to study the Bible. Of course, it doesn't always necessarily make you a Christian. It's something that happens to you when the Lord touches you with His Holy Spirit and draws you with cords of love to Himself. Irresistible grace. John Newton sung about that, didn't he, in his hymn. No, you might have all the qualifications and all the letters after your name in the world. You can't teach others something you don't know nothing about yourself. I put down here, you can't talk about what you didn't have. Jesus reminded Nicodemus of the incident when the nation of Israel were bitten by snakes because of their grumbling in the wilderness. So Moses was told to make a brass snake and put it on a pole. And all those who looked towards the snake were healed. You'll find that in Numbers chapter 21 verses 49. Likewise, Jesus was telling Nicodemus that He Himself, Jesus Himself, must be lifted up so that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. Now we come to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. This is surely one of the most well-known memory verses in the Scriptures. And if you're a Christian, you don't know that verse. I'm going to question where you really stand. It's a famous verse. For God, there's a wee chorus to that, you know. We used to sing it to the children in the Sunday school where I used to work in Musselburgh Baptist Church. I'm not going to sing it here, because when I listen to myself preaching later on, I'll squirm. But it goes along the lines. Maybe I should sing it. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only. No. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever will believe on Him will not perish but will have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Is there two parts to that, me chorus? Jesus is mentioned, it's actually spelled out, Jesus. And we used to teach the kids to sing this. And it's a good thing to do. Singing biblical choruses is a great way for young children to learn the Scriptures. I'm talking about young children. It's sometimes hard to get older children to sing. I remember that for Sunday school days as well. You know, didn't want to be standing there and they tried to get the back of there when you were doing a presentation ahead for their mums and dads. You know, I'm no here. But we read also that those who do not believe are condemned. Condemned already. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? That's why if you are one of the Lord's, born again of His Spirit, you will want to tell others. When I was converted, I worked in the building trade. The language was hot. Some of you will know that. I was also in the army before that. The language was hot there as well. Somehow, I managed to stop swearing, cursing and swearing after a couple of weeks. And I used to take my Bible to my work with me in the building trade. When the men were sitting in the house having their cups of tea and that, and there's Brian in the corner reading his Bible. I got some comments, I can tell you. But I was hungry. I couldn't put my Bible down. I took it everywhere with me. And I just wanted to tell people. Perhaps I wasn't so good at telling it initially, but there was a desire within me where I wanted to tell people that this is real. Jesus is real. And you just can't help it. You want to tell Him. You know that He loves you. You know that He's died for your sins. You've got nothing to fear. And you just want to tell people. I know a man who was in the jail 60 or 70 times. He's dead now in actual fact. And he used to be put in the jail for beating people up. He was a thug. Dunkey Donaldson, he came from Airdrie. I may have told you this story before, but Duncan used to go down the road in Airdrie, and if you saw him across the road, if you saw him, you would cross the road in case he turned on his had a go at you. Brig Duncan was going down Airdrie Cross, and there was a miner, not a minister, a miner, handing out tracts and inviting people to come to a meeting that night. It was a Saturday. Duncan grabbed this thing. "What's this?" He says, "It's a meeting, Duncan. Why don't you come along tonight and hear the gospel?" Well, he went along to that meeting. And Big Dunkey Donaldson got converted. He was back home in the house by about 9:30, and his wife couldn't believe it. He was seeing him there. Normally he would come in steaming drunk and causing a rammy. And his wife says to him, "What are you doing here at this time?" And Duncan says, "I've been converted." But it was a real testimony. But this big hard man, this big tough guy, this big brute of a man, his life was transformed. There's a story goes that he was working in a factory through there in Motherwell, and he'd been converted by this time. And this little Christian gentleman had heard about his conversion and says to Duncan, "At dinner time, when we go outside to have our sandwiches or peace, as we'd say, it was a nice day, they were all going to be sitting inside, you and I are going to have an open air meeting in front of these guys." Duncan says, "Nay bother, leave me on." So Duncan goes out there along with this little guy, and all these working men are sitting there in the sunshine having their sandwiches. And Duncan stood up, and the wee guy stood up. The wee guy took a look at the crowd, and he got cold feet, and he ran away. And they left Duncan standing there on his own. And I've heard Duncan say that it was on his testimony. He says, I didn't know much about preaching. He says, but I knew that Jesus had died for me, and I was going to say something for Jesus. So this big, tough, hard guy stood there and sung, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's conversion. When you get converted, you'll stand up for Jesus, no matter what the circumstances are. Anyway, what we're meant to do is tell them the gospel. Tell people that Jesus loves them. Tell Jesus died for their sins. We don't just tell them that you go to church. Tell them the gospel. Tell them that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Tell them about his great rescue plan to save sinners. Tell them you love him because he first loved you and died to save you from your sins. Just tell them. Tell them. Why should we ever be ashamed to tell people the gospel? Just ordinary people. You know, and when you read Acts of the Apostles, when the church came at Pentecost, and then all the disciples and all the people were gathered there, how did the gospel go out? Did they hire a big evangelist to come along and pay him a lot of money and start to put a tent up? No, they didn't. They just spoke the gospel to people, and they passed it on. That's how the church initially grew. And if you are born again, you'll want to do that. You may get some responses, but not a lot of people will respect you as well. Just tell them. In the closing verses from 19 to 21, we are told that, sadly, some people won't accept this message because they don't want to expose their sins. Or even sadder, they just don't care. In our nation today, there is so much indifference to the gospel. But we should never stop telling them. But remember, to tell means we need to put our armour on every day and live out our lives that others can see the difference that the Lord makes as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Born not again of perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish. There was another Pharisee named Saul, who became Paul. You all know this, of course. In Romans 3:20, he said these words, or he wrote these words: "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." Paul too, like Nicodemus, was a proud, proud Pharisee. And if you remember, he tried to stamp out the way, people who followed Jesus. And then he got an amazing conversion on the Damascus Road. And Paul's life was transformed. You know, if you ever think about Apostle Paul and the things that that man suffered for the gospel, we've got a pretty cushy here. That man suffered. Of course, Jesus did say he was going to suffer for the gospel, but it never put him off. You know something? Isn't it amazing? And there are some people on the other side of the world just now who are persecuted because they trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. But the real people don't give up. And Paul suffered so much. Nobody's going to suffer all that for a lie, because it's true. Christ is real. Christ is so tangible, although you can't see him, but you sense him in your heart. Martin Luther, 1485 to 1546, is quoted with saying this: "I felt myself born again. The gates of paradise had been flung open, and I had entered. There and then the whole of Scripture took on another look to me." And we know what happened through Martin Luther's ministry, the Reformation, how it spread over Europe. It came to Scotland. John Knox, who was also a Roman Catholic priest, got converted. He used to hold a sword in front of a man called Wishart, George Wishart, another evangelist, another Scots evangelist, and John Knox himself. John Knox was a fearless man. A lot of people give John Knox a bad press, but by jins, that man stood up against Mary, Queen of Scots. Finally, I've got another quotation here from a man called John of Ruysbroek, 1293 to 1381. He's quoted as saying these words: "When we are born anew of God's Spirit, then our will is free, for it is made to be one with the free will of God. There our spirit, through love, is raised and taken up into one spirit, capital S, one will, and one freedom in Christ." Are you born again? I hope so. Amen.